Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of, I bet you know already, Raising Expectations. And that's why we're here to hopefully raise your expectations on what you can do, what you can be, and how you can help in your home, your family, your life, and especially the United States of America, our nation. So we're here tonight. As you know, our team is made up of a great bunch of folks. We have Dr. Paul Hall. And he is a retired pastor and a theologian who still theologues every day. You there, Paul?
I'm here.
There he is. And there he is. Good. Salute, as they used to say. Mm-hmm. Good to see you. Glad you're there. And also Commander, Naval Commander, retired Rob and Nancy Hansen, who was a Top Gun pilot and trainer, landed on top of those aircraft carriers, which you see in the movies. Oh, he really did it. And flew an F-14 Tomcat and served our nation. And we thank you for your service. And Nancy, we thank you for your service taking good care of Rob. Excellent. Way to go.
All right. Get me out of jail. That's important.
That is important. Good work, isn't it?
I also need to add about Paul. I mean, is to theologue, is that a adjective, a verb, or an adverb?
I think we made it up. Remember?
I think we made it up.
So somebody for sure every week is looking that word up, Rob. Figure, what does that word mean? Looking up theologue. Yeah. So folks, we made that word up.
Something Latin.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Latin. Doesn't it make sense? Yeah, somewhere back there. Yeah, probably 6th century AD. But anyway, but don't go there, Paul. You probably know the answer, but we'll just pretend to keep going. And so we're covering the West Coast, and we're covering the state of Arizona, and also moving all the way across the nation to the East Coast. We have our Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Dr. Craig is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon, and of course, Stephanie is a health and wellness coach who helps you not only to get well and as he does and stay well, but to understand why you're doing it and to get a hold of who you are and understand that. We're all people of faith. We believe God has a plan. We believe he's working in our midst. And most important, it's good to sit back sometimes and see what he's doing. But we do like to stay on top of what is happening. You know, we cover five F's. Hey, guys, let's take a quiz for a second. You remember the F's that we cover? We cover freedom, which we're going to talk about in just a bit. Anybody another one?
Fun.
That's it. Faith. What was it, Nancy?
Fun.
Fun. That's a good one. That's the capper. And freedom, family. That's it, Paul. And
superiority. I'm sorry.
But that didn't have an F. We'll have to think of a new word for that. We'll come up with something. Yeah, some kind of word will come up on that. We are looking forward tonight, folks, being in the freedom section to talk about. A couple of weeks ago, we had Dr. Cintron on family. And we're looking forward tonight to having Joe Collins, his film director, Michael. They put a new film out, which is called Minneapolis, The New Selma. And he has now won his 6th film festival because it's so honest, right where we all live. And, of course, he takes Martin Luther King approach, which we have said so many times. Like he said, you don't judge a person by his color, but by his character. And that's what we want to do as we look at the nation today. And we hope they're supposed to be plugged in with us here. Had a great talk with them today. They had quite a court case dealing with voter suppression, dealing with not just voter suppression, but also lost votes, voter suppression, voter fraud. They were fighting for our rights through the courts, which they're looking at. Their comment to us was, America always wins when people are motivated to fight. So 2022, we must get behind solid candidates like Joe Collins and others like this. And maybe you saw on some of our social media what we put up about them. But, you know, until they do come in, I thought it'd be really cool to talk tonight about this and to just throw it out for everybody. And well, let's just go around the clock. We'll start with maybe the Thayers and work our way around up to Paul and come back, jump by me and go to Rob and Nancy. You know, if we're just everyday Americans, which we are, living in the greatest nation on the face of God's green earth, the greatest experiment in democracy, in family and love and religious freedom and freedom to be who you are, what do you think we think of what's going on in the nation today? And if we could just kind of say maybe how we're seeing people deal with this around us, what we're hearing, what we're seeing, and maybe start way back on the East Coast there in Georgia. And what are you seeing maybe in church or in the store with the people that are part of your program that you reach out to? Give us some insight on maybe what you're seeing or what you're feeling personally and with your people. There you go.
It's a broad question, and it's interesting because we're both born and raised in California, and we've been in Georgia 4 months. And honestly, it's like night and day. I would almost say we're on a different planet, and in a refreshing way. A lot of people don't talk politics. There's a lot of open carry, though, and there's a lot of American flags everywhere, and there's a lot of kindness and slower pace that's occurring. There was a horrific car accident like a mile from our house with some kids going to high and the grandfather, and just watching the community rally around and to see officers in the street and guiding traffic every single day, which I've never seen that in California. You see it when churches are in and out of service. And so it's very refreshing. And I think there's a sense of community. And I think I had that growing up in California, but a lot of that was lost. And we lived in a rural area of California. And so I don't know if it's just this difference between certain communities, if there's reasons for that. But it's actually been really nice to hear a lot less politically, enjoy each day, to have people that don't even really know you welcome you in and be very, very kind.
Well, that's good. My open carriage, she didn't mean they were carrying hooch around or moonshine, but you'll go to church in those days with a gun on their hip.
Everywhere.
Sure. Sure.
You do that in San Francisco and that ain't going to go well.
I like it. It makes me feel safe.
My oldest son's my Hunter Safety Courses was a lawyer who was like, yeah, you know, old school, you could put a rifle on the back of your truck and drive anywhere you want, but you'll probably get stopped in certain cities. So, I mean, for me, it's, I think it's kind of what you said, Joe. I mean, there's a really good book we've read, Providential America. That's probably not the exact title, but America is definitely providential, meaning it's chosen, right? So but it's currently not united. Our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, is being attacked. And like I said last time, the Boy Scouts are defending that with patriotism and honor. You know, I sit here in front of my dad's burial flag. He was Navy. My mom was Irish. Went through World War II. Never got the chance, because she died when I was 18, to ask her about what that was like. But I, you know, I think this group as Christians currently, now I'm talking about us, are lights, and we need to be to all the people around us and Americans to get us united again some way, somehow, under, I mean, under one God, really. So I remember before we left, stuff coming out of a Costco and commenting on a nice mom who's got five kids and one just blew up, thinking, you have a guitar, and it's like Disney. You see Disneyland, Disney World. I forget about how we pronounce it. Just they.
We call it a Disney meltdown. Like, you meltdown. Know, it's a really good day, right?
I don't know what this lady had heard, but she called her racist. And I'm like, I was ahead with the shopping cart, so I didn't hear what went on, but it was an attack. I mean, wow. It's just like people are just, it's not just that they have an opinion. They're very extremely vocal and aggressive. So,
and nothing you say will change their mind.
Yeah. He was trying to hide. I mean, he was like, he was completely horrified. It's a weird time to live in.
Yeah. I mean, that relationship 1A, right? So if someone feels, this is how you have to listen to what they're, because that's their feeling, right? You can't argue with it. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to listen to folks and just, you know, give it to them. Try and make them feel united.
That's right.
I know we got dogs barking. I apologize.
I thought it was my stomach because I haven't had dinner yet. That's okay.
No, it's George and Bob.
You have dogs in your stomach, Dr.
We're trying to ignore them.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I've heard them, so we're trying. I apologize.
No, I'm reminded of after the second atomic bomb in World War II, after the Japanese have offered surrender, Admiral William F. Halsey, you may have heard of him.
Bulldog, yeah.
Well, what do we do with the Japanese that are, you know, in all these islands and everything? Well, and Admiral Halsey said, well, just kill them, but in a friendly way. Sorry, I'm still kind of.
That's what he said.
Oh, yes. Aggressive. Oh, yeah. And he really said that.
All right, your turn, Paul.
All right, Paul. Yeah, and I'll keep my mouth shut for the rest of the show.
So. Yeah, I love this group of people. You're so fun. You know, it's fun to pray for you. And living in California, Craig and Steph, you certainly remember, but you, up in Northern California, there's a distinctive difference between Northern California and Southern California. I mean, it's this is such a nutball place to live, you know, in so many ways. You know, taxes are high, gasoline $4.59.
How did that happen?
And it's just going crazy.
Oh, you didn't recall the governor.
Oh, well.
Yeah. You tried. I'm sure you tried.
This is my application. Okay?
Yes, dear.
It's very easy to say, well, let's go love the world in Jesus' name. Okay? Mm-hmm. Different matter to make that very practical and love the people who live on both sides of you and the person across the street and the guy behind us in the alley. And I find that they are an absolute pleasure. They're wonderful people. And there's on the end of our street, in our little neighborhood, there's a cohesiveness that you really do feel that if you're in trouble, their door is always open. And their hearts are always open. Their hands are always open. And I think it's Tim Keller who talks about neighboring the gospel. You know, start where you are and neighbor the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a real part of the key. You know, I am a believer that you tend to get back what you put out there. You know, if you cast your bread on the water, it does come back. Whether you're in a grocery store or whatever it is. One of the things extremely frustrating is wearing a mask when you go into a business because you can't see faces. Mm-hmm. And what you see is the eye, and that's a whole different matter altogether. But to love people, you know, where they are and encourage them, you know, along the way. That's what I see what's happening. And it gets particularly difficult when the mindsets are so firmly entrenched, and we mm-hmm. we certainly have some of that in Lompoc, you know. That's my take on that.
Yeah. Sometimes I think back to the Revolutionary War. You know, what would it have been like to live with the person on your left and right behind you, and across the way, if two of them were for the Revolutionary War and two of them were Tories? two of them supported King George, and they didn't want to say it, but still they did, but still they loved the nation, and still they were trying to understand the colonies to the south and north, or if you were from Charleston, they were so closely tied to King George and everything. But, you know, I found I've been blasted just a few times now, and probably when they know you're a quote-unquote pastor, I used to think, well, they'll lighten up. Frankly, that's a go-get-em sign. Mm-hmm. Actually, the people now say, let's lower the guns of Navarone. I just dated myself, Rob, on that one. But let's lower the guns
of Navarone. I know what you're talking about here.
Yeah, they're coming after us, you know, because, but I have found that I really feel strong like what you're both saying, all of you, and Rob's going to give me a thought here in a minute, but, you know, I want to love them as Christ loves us. I also know that I love the United States of America, and I love my nation, and I want a home for my grandkids someday. So when I look at all of this and I see the deceit and I see the outright lies, and my first thought is, what's wrong with the electorate? Are they just ignorant? Do they not see anything? But no, as Rob said, they don't want to know what you know. So I found kind of what's been working to me, because what do you do? That's the question we always try to ask.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? I answer specifically, as Jesus said, speak the truth in love. I try to remember that. I try to come straight forward with a factual rebuttal, and I try to say it clear enough, and I try to remember this. I really believe that there is an intellectual level in the United States today that is very spread. There are those with classical education. There are those with some education. There are those that have gone through the university system with basically no education today. They don't know anything but revisionist history, as I pointed out. So if I'm going to say something to them about why I love the nation and my God and my family and why I love being an American, I've got to do it in a way that's clear and concise, but not inflammatory. And I found that if I say exactly what I think, as caringly as I can, I usually go back and check every word, because words matter. And usually I will get one or two cannons fired back at me. I purposely go back to those cannon shooters, and I try to say to them something is, well, I see what you're saying, but you know, I'm sorry, you just don't have your facts right. You need to get out of revisionist history and get into actual history. And I know you must want to do that because it looks like you really care. And when I do that, I usually get maybe one more blast. And if I get a big one, I'll simply say, you know, my friend, thanks for sharing, but you're just wrong. The only thing wrong with what you said is that it's wrong. Thanks for respecting my opinion, and know that I'll respect yours. Have a great day. That usually ends it. And many of those people have actually come back to me on Twitter or Facebook, and have actually come back. Like when I support Governor Noem, Kristi Noem in South Dakota, oh my goodness, I get stuff like I've never seen before. I guess it all comes out of the local cowboy bar on a Friday night session. But I mean, stuff is good. But if you come back at them this way.
I think I see Joe Collins.
What do you think, Rob? Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think a lot of things, but I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people that are buying into whatever they're told, based on what the media tells them. Yes. And what the media tells them is almost completely wrong, misinformation, disinformation, and they're being lied to. And yet so many people buy it. But enough about me.
Okay,
I want to get challenged.
I have a response.
Nancy's got one.
I have a response to Joe's comment about, you know, the Tories and, you know, the American Revolution.
Yeah, from New York. Yeah.
Yes, from New York. Western New York, not New York City. Thank you.
I know.
Yeah, but right. The thing is that a lot of people that did not believe go with the Patriots went to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
They moved to Canada, so they did not have to fight. They did not have to get involved with any of that. So, a little history lesson. I don't know if everybody knows that, but yeah, a lot of them defected to Canada, just like the Vietnam War.
So. Yeah, interesting, Nancy. Paul, yes. What do you think?
I think we got Joe Collins with us. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, there's Joe. I didn't see him.
Good to see you. How are you doing? You doing okay?
Good to see you guys.
Yeah. You still busy?
I'm extremely blessed.
Okay, good.
Oh, you are. Hey, Joe, let us throw a question to you. We had a great talk with Michael this morning, and I just wanted to fire this out. There was something he had talked about that I know is important to you, and then I'm just going to let the folks share with you because we love the Lord. We love what you're doing, and we are going to do all that we can to keep right on going for you. He simply said, voter suppression, voter fraud, fighting for our rights through the court. We know you had a session last week. America always wins when people are motivated to fight for what's right. That's why we're backing you in 2022. Share your heart with us, would you, a little about that, and then we'll kind of jump with you.
It's a fight. We didn't have a huge Republican presence in the 43rd district, but we gave him one, and we gave Maxine a fight. Unfortunately, where I am, we have Democrat judges, Democrat courts, Democrat clerks, Democrat Maxine. And I think that everybody works with each other to protect their careers. And that's a fight that we've been in. And thanks be to God, praise be to God, that we have a lot of supporters who gave us money to be able to take that fight to Maxine. And that's what we've been doing.
Amen. Yeah. Tell us about your movie.
Oh. So I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and I've been a victim of police brutality, and so is a lot of people in my family. But it's not because of law enforcement; it's just because of a lot of policies that have been passed and a failure from legislators to update policies in accordance with time. So after George Floyd died, we went out to Minneapolis and we protested against the lawmakers who continue to pass terrible laws. Who continue to just allow things to happen, not take care of their communities, to allow their people to suffer, no infrastructure, no rebuilding. And, we got to talk with the families there. We got to talk with the people who lived in that community, found out a lot about it. We got to meet with a lot of community organizations who were trying to fight for that community, but haven't been heard for a very long time. And, it was a very emotional time, but we were able to get a lot of positive things accomplished. And Michael Carlin was there, and he recorded the entire thing, and he turned it into a documentary. And a documentary has gotten worldwide recognition. And so, Michael was the reason why we were where we were, as far as the documentary receiving that attention that it's been getting. But it is really good. It's really good. Fight for civil rights, real civil rights.
Yes. Yeah. Real civil rights. I like that. Yeah. Anybody have a question?
No, Joe, we love you. And amen. We think you're fighting the great fight. Actually, I think you're fighting the greatest fight there is right now, because I think you're up against an enormous corrupt system that is preventing you from getting elected. We don't have any media people that are doing any serious research on, what's wrong with the system. And of course, we all know how mad Maxine is. I think that's something that needs to be really forced for people to fully understand. I mean, you're up against this huge mountain of corruption, and I wished it weren't that way. But unfortunately, that's the way things seem to be right now in both your district and in politics in general, nationally and statewide.
But keep at it. It's people like you that need it, like Change California. I mean, we live in Arizona. There's not much we can do, but we can support you and other Californians to see.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
We put your address and name and everything, been telling everybody on all of our social media. But, I was going to ask you, and then maybe Rob, too. And I don't know if you've heard this in Georgia, but the Maricopa County, what happened with that vote, what they've done and those different names that they had for it. I'm so old, I remember the hanging chads. But anyway, they were talking about, what really happened. And the Arizona State Senate, right, Rob? They have released all this. And now Maricopa County has to release the most deeply intensive voter search that they've ever done. And mm-hmm. I kept thinking that should help Joe. Maybe you could address that. And maybe Rob, you could share a little on that.
Well, yeah, in a sense, I mean, we're kind of waiting ourselves. And there's a big fight going on between the Arizona State Senate and Maricopa County. In Senate particular, won. Which has been the county that had, you know, a Democrat recorder of votes and things. And he lost, by the way, last election. But I think there's just a lot of stuff going on.
They're not releasing stuff out that they've been subpoenaed to, and they're just holding stuff. So
yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, yeah. And again, it's all about.
It tells you that, you know, what's wrong here? If you didn't have anything to hide, why don't you just give it out?
Yeah.
Give it up.
Well, as of yesterday,
they're not giving it up.
They don't, because they lie.
You know, the Maricopa is so cool, Rob. I thought of it. They lost the election. They lost the debate with the Senate, and they are having to release everything, every single thing they wanted to the Senate, and whatever that means. And that should, that's how I wondered how that might help free this and get some answers that would help Joe also, you know, as he gets with the queen of fraud, Maxine Waters, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, in Arizona, there's been some compromises made, and it's kind of complicated because the Arizona State Senate compromised with Maricopa County, and I'm not sure what the details are, but I'm very concerned that, people aren't really being honest about in the state government, and probably in California, right, Joe? The state governments are not being honest to Americans about what's really been going on. And that's what really bothers me the most. I think people have been so accepting of, well, whatever the media tells them, and that's got to be true. And, you know, and then, of course, you've got Maxine Waters, Joe, and that's just one of the biggest mountains that has to be climbed. And, you know, and in my heart of hearts, and having done a lot of research, she may be among the most corrupt Democrat representatives.
I'm very mean.
And she's not a nice person. Yeah. And she lives well while the rest of her constituents are still wallowing in poverty and stuff like that. And you know that, Joe.
Yeah, basically. And she's a nut job. She's a nut job in real life, too. And I don't mean that as a euphemism. I mean, like, literally, she is. She's crazy. We have a lot of run-ins with Maxine and her people throughout our 2020 election cycle. It didn't go the way she thought it was going to go, but it was terrible to have some of the things that she did to us, especially during a lot of our family events, you know, happen. And so, yeah, she's a terrible person.
And she's evil.
Yeah.
I think she and Nancy Pelosi are among the most evil politicians in America because they don't represent the people that they're supposed to represent. They end up doing what they do to enrich themselves, and nobody calls them out on it. Nobody writes an article, and there's no investigative journalism that goes into the details about why these people are being so rich, and yet they keep getting reelected. Go figure.
Well, I think one of the biggest things that we got to understand, you know, the first concept in war is knowing your opponent, knowing your enemy. And that's one thing that we as Republicans don't do. We don't know our enemies. And so one thing that Democrats do is they pull at the heartstrings of people who live in their communities by using things such as racism, using things such as poverty in order to continue to allow themselves to stay in office. And that's something that the Republicans don't do. They hate to talk about race. They hate to talk about things that actually matter to people because we feel like everybody is on the same playing field. And that's, you know, sometimes even if it is the case, people don't feel like it's the case. And so we have to, you know, be able to attach ourselves to the most of the people that we need to win votes. And it's frowned upon in our party, but it's necessary.
Absolutely. How do you reach that inner city? Yeah. How do you reach that inner city, Joe?
Engagement.
Okay.
engaged. That's easy. Just talking to people because, you know, they love to talk. And sometimes I don't even respond. I just listen and be like, oh, I never thought about it. I think that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then after the conversation, they're like, he really listened to me. I like that guy.
Amen.
That's wonderful. And again, Joe, from my perspective, one of the biggest challenges you have is those who have been living on the dole for, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years. And how do you get them to learn to understand that they've become dependent on a big government instead of learning about freedom and liberty and being able to make it on their own? Because I lived in North Carolina for several years and I saw the same thing. What needs to happen, I think, is people need to learn about, individual liberty that's probably the most important thing, but I don't think it's been set in their minds because they've been programmed for so long to have an expectation of, oh, big government's going to take care of you. You don't have to work hard. And then you end up getting enough money to get by, but you have no inspiration or desire to want to make a better life for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it all goes back to, like you said, the programming. People have been programmed over 20, 30 years to believe these things, and it's passed down through generation to generation. Mm-hmm. Only way to break that cycle is to get somebody new in office and start showing them something mm-hmm. new. But the way you reach that message mm-hmm. is, you know, everybody said right now, oh, it's time for new blood. It's time for new blood. And me, I'm like, yes, you're absolutely right. It is time for new blood. Now tell me what it is that you want. And they tell me, and they're like, you know, I like that guy. It's the same thing. Agree. Get the support and keep it moving. That's the best way to do it. And once you get in that seat, then you can slowly make those changes that impact people's lives.
It's a trust level. We hear you saying a trust mm-hmm. level, right, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Hank, you got a thought on that?
Yeah, I'm just thinking some kind of what wins or real positive things have you been through in the last year?
Personally or professionally?
Either one, yeah. We just love to know you. Professionally or professionally, both are great.
All right, well, I'll tell you this. During our last election cycle, we gave over 300,000 pounds of food away during the COVID lockdown. We did a lot of job fairs, got a lot of people hired. We did grants to churches that was actually taking care of the community so they could be able to buy food for the seniors or do whatever they needed to do. We were able to work with law enforcement to protect the community and make sure they did a lot of rallies and things like that. But here in Los Angeles, you know, we made sure they didn't destroy our city. They rally, they go home at nighttime, or they were going to get a little bit of aggressive force from the police department and the sheriff's department. Got to spend a lot of time with my kids, got to bring my children out to California and show them what I do when it comes to politics. They love it. They like going to the meetings and they like going to dinners and eating all food and stuff like that. And, you know, my grandmother, she's voting conservative now. And that's a really big push because she's been a Democrat for a long time, but now she's actually involved in politics. Yep. And then surprisingly, this is going to sound really funny, but well, I have a lot of gang members that are interested in politics now. And they stop me on the streets and they talk to me on a regular basis in groups. And sometimes I'm scared. I'm like, what I do? And we want to talk to you about this politics stuff. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's talk. And so we end up spending an hour or two talking politics on the streets or whatever. So just the outlook from the community has been extremely good, extremely positive. So blessed for that.
Fantastic.
What a great point, Joe. I mean, the gangs, what are they giving you as far as they are, I don't know, hoping for, wishing for? And again, I know there's a lot of drugs and crap that goes on there, but, you know, I focus on individual liberty and freedom. I'm not sure how the gangs look at that, but I'd be interested in your feedback on what the gangs are telling you.
They want jobs.
Yeah.
They want jobs. I don't know where to put it. And they want union jobs too, which is crazy. They want to get in construction. They want to get, you know, how they climb the cell phone towers. They want to do things so they can stay actively busy. They want to work oil fields. We don't have oil fields here in California, but I'm pretty sure we can do some offshore drilling once I get to office. I don't have a problem with it. But yes. they want jobs.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. And we're talking legitimate jobs, Joe, I assume. Yeah,
okay. They don't want to work like Walmart or fast food. They want some trade jobs where they can.
Yes.
So,
Dr. Cintron, and we had a specialist, Stephanie Strand, was with us. She's just excellent with dyslexia and things like this. And she was sharing how many young men, I don't know if she mentioned women too, Steph, I don't remember, but you remember she talked about them that end up because of the difficulties they have growing up that you're meeting and helping, that they end up in a prison or in some situation where they come out, they can't. I mean, they can't be the leaders that they, if you, one of them gets a chance, they turn out to be incredible leaders. And these are the people that you could help that when they get this, they could become incredible leaders.
Well, they're already leaders. You know, they're already leaders on the streets, but it's just taking that street knowledge and transferring it into workable skills that you can use at a job. And that's why they mostly go for trades, because, you know, with a criminal background, it makes it extremely hard to get corporate jobs. And so trade jobs where they can go get a skill, go get a trade and go directly into that field without having to worry about all the background checks, something that they like. But yeah, I mean, you know, they have marketing skills, they have leadership skills, they have selling skills, communication skills. It's just how can you take that rough stone and turn it into a diamond and put them in the workforce?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of the studies, one of our kiddos is dyslexic and Craig is dyslexic. We didn't know it until our youngest was tested, but I started doing all this research, and highly gifted and often dyslexic, it's about 20% of the prison population. And it's horrific and unacceptable, because instead of these young kids being given opportunity to learn in a different way, they're put in special ed as if they're not capable, and yet they're the highly capable. So then they just start getting into trouble because they're bored out of their mind in these classes. Yeah. And I just wish there was an avenue, a place that we could let them utilize. Like you were saying, a lot of these gang members are already leaders, right? If we can use these gifts that they have, enable them to really be productive and fruitful in society, I think we just have this massive gap that we're missing.
Mm-hmm. I think, Joe, you're doing the exact right thing, man. When you get one or two, especially leaders, to step up and do something, I think we're all built to be, you know, belong, number one, and then be productive. And when you feel like you're productive, it just raises your spirit. So you get one and the domino start falling, I think.
We should, Tank, we should hitch her up. Stephanie, we should, I got a delay. Let me interrupt. I was thinking we should connect Dr. Cintron with Joe, and maybe one of the things that you could do would be to set up a center there. She's doing incredible scientific study out of USC. And, you know, Joe, and she's a great Christian, solid conservative, loves America. And I told her about you. And, you know, here's somebody else who could be a great support for you. We'll make a connect for you if you'd like. And she'd love an opportunity.
Yeah. Shoot her my email address. That's good.
All right. Paul's thinking, I can tell.
Oh, I'm theologing.
All right, we'll call you Theo for short.
I've got a question for you, and I've been thinking about. I've so appreciated the things you've shared with you. You've been with us twice before, if my memory serves me right. But last week we had James Robbins on the program, and in his first interview with us, he talked about values and how we communicate those values. And could you just help our listeners a little bit by saying, this is what I stand for. These are my values, you know. Could you do that for us?
Yeah, so my values obviously stem from my time in the service, honor, courage, and commitment. And it all boils down to personal freedom and having the moral obligation to do the right thing, whether somebody's looking or not looking, whether they're going to get praised for it or not get praised for it. Those are the things that I stand for.
Okay. You identified yourself as a man of faith the first time we talked. And I just want to just ask a question, because it's a loaded situation now when somebody seeking public office takes a firm stand on their faith, you know, things like that. So my question is, can the way that you're seeing it and experiencing it, can politics and religion really mix effectively? And how does that work?
Yeah, well, you know, politics used to mix with religion back in the days. I think what happened was you had a lot of politicians wanted to be corrupt and they couldn't do it because the church was always watching. But I think the churches are the leaders of the communities. And so the politicians are supposed to go to the churches when they have issues, or when the members of the community have issues, because church is a place that everybody goes. And that's where a politician get the most information about what the community needs directly from the church. And I think that's how it used to be. And I think that's where it should go back to. Now you have politicians running rogue and they think they connected, but they're not. They're connected to their own pocketbook, to their own personal gains, and not to the community anymore. So,
okay. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that Maxine Waters really hasn't improved the lives of the citizens in LA where she's supposed to represent, and yet she's been reelected so many times over 30 odd years. And I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's, we never had anybody who took the race running against Maxine Waters here. This is the first time in, you know, her 17 times running for office where she actually had a fight on her hands. But if you never show up, then the same person who has been there is going to continue to get elected.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, well, I'm going to jump in 1 second and say what I have to say, Joe. You stay with me. We're a listener-supported, everybody knows that, but we're a listener-supported organization raising expectations. We just want to give you the website. You probably know it already as you follow each week, but it's bbsradio.com/RRaisingExpectations. bbsradio.com/RRaisingExpectations. And you'll find a donation button there. And if you'll join the people who've been helping support our program, which we covet and thank God for, and I try to get back to, we'd love to have your help, because we want to be able to support guys like Joe and his staff. I've only talked to a couple of people. You got some great folks teaming up there with you, Joe, and you got your Raising Expectation team teaming up with you too. We're behind you all the way. So ladies and gentlemen, if God lays on your heart that we could use your help this way, just hit that donation button and a special blessing will come into your room. No, I'm just kidding. No, but you will be blessed. Well, thank you very much. And don't forget, I could give you a list of a few names now that we just thank you. You bless us in a great way. So moving right along. Hey, Joe, we've got about, we probably got like 8 minutes. I don't know, throw a question out to the folks and you. How can we help you? I mean, we're not just, hey, here we are, say something and we're gone. We're in this with you. How can we help you? I told Michael.
Well, getting a message out. That's the most important thing. And one thing that I've been thinking about for a very long time, you know, I thought about it during the 2020 election. And now that California lost the gubernatorial election for the recall that we had a heavy hand in, is that when people get upset about election integrity or, you know, election fraud, voter fraud, it all happens in the inner cities where Republicans don't go. So I think that is extremely important for us to start supporting people who are running in the inner cities where they have the most election integrity issues. Because if not, you know, Republicans are going to get moved into a box. If everybody says don't support candidates running in heavy Democrat districts, then guess what? We're forced to move other places. And then the last thing you need is everybody in Florida, everybody in Texas, and everybody in Arizona and Wisconsin, Republican. I mean, we're going to lose the seats for president and vice president, and everybody's going to be Democrats because we're going to be so boxed and separated. So we have to start supporting candidates who are running in inner cities so we can get that influence and start turning these elections around.
Joe, did you get any support from the Republican National Committee or the California State Republican Committee? Because I suspect that none of these establishment Republicans really want to change anything because they're comfortable with the way things are. And that really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It bothers him, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the RNC picks races that they feel is easy to win. So, no, I didn't get any support from the RNC. CAGOP, I got an endorsement, but that was about it. No, nobody came down and knocked doors, made phone calls, mm-hmm. or gave money to our campaign. So, no on that one as well.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, you need to be supported by a lot of kick-ass, serious conservatives who want to support you and want you to get elected. And the establishment just doesn't seem to care. And I'm just livid about that.
President Trump helped me, though. He endorsed
me. Yeah.
He helped us raise money. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Met him a couple times. It was really good.
He was good. Yeah. Paul, what do you think?
Well, Joe, our prayers surround you. They really do. And as often as we think of you, you're out there fighting on, front lines. And mm-hmm. That's not an easy battle. And sometimes I'm sure it feels awfully lonely. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's tough to be hero material because they stand in the front. You know,
that's right. That's right.
But, our prayers are with you. I want to encourage you. The word is sharp and powerful, and Second Peter five, chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says that we should devote ourselves to lavishly supplement our faith with goodness, and to that understanding, to that self-control, to that endurance, to that godliness, to that mercy, and to that unending love. And then it has a promise. It says, for if you possess these traits and multiply them, then you will never be ineffective or unproductive in your relationship with Christ Jesus. And that would be my prayer for you, that surrounding prayer, that your heart would be encouraged, because when we feel alone, it's a desperate feeling. But boy, stay with it, Joe. Stay with it. You know.
Yeah. Man. Thank you so much.
You got it. Hey, well, Tank, we've got a couple of minutes. How about Paul? What do you say, Rob? Tank, would you pray for Joe and just ask God to give him that strength and courage, and always remind Joe, hey, you know, when you're wondering where everybody is, we're here. Lots of people behind you. Thanks,
always.
Tank. Amen,
thank
Rob.
You,
all right. Dear God, thank you so much for Joe, who's paving a way for you and for society and being a servant for you in deep, deep waters. I'm sure there's times when he's almost drowning, and yet you're there for him. Like Psalms 23, that we choose to take that road to the valley of the shadow of death, you are behind us with your staff. So protect him, keep angels around his family. It's not an easy course. The valley is a valley, and he's climbing it, and it's a beautiful thing, and I love to watch it. Yes. And Jesus, just keep giving him evidence that you're with him. Your name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right.
Joe, you've got the Lord on your side, and that's why you're going to win.
Okay?
Never forget that. There's a lot of evil in the world, and we need to fight that evil with good, and you're one of the good guys.
Just keep it up.
We're going to keep supporting you.
Hanging away at this.
Yep. And we'll expose the evil and hopefully eliminate them. Well, in my case, with weapons. But
yeah, right. Well, we got one more. We'll send in the Tomcat. We're ready. Rob said.
Oh, yeah. Ahead, I have no idea.
Yeah. Joe, God bless you and keep you. And Stephanie and Tank out there in Georgia, God bless you. We love you. And Paul, love you, brother. Same with, of course, Rob, Nancy, love you guys. And Joe, we're behind you all the way. We'll be in touch with you. Maybe I'll get that information for Dr. Sintron because, hey, listen, she'd be another great support there out of Azusa Pacific and USC. And we'll see if we can do that too. All right, Joe, perfect. God bless you. We're signing off.
God bless you.
Have a great
day. Thank you, Joe. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye, guys.
All right,
see you.
See you next week.
See you, guys. Thanks, Tank. Thanks for the prayer.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.